Job chapter 25. Job chapter 25. This verse has been rolling around in my head now for a few days. And so we're going to look at it. If you're in my Bible class, or if you ask them, and they say, how does he like to teach? It's usually with questions. Well, this is a question. And this is not a question to put you on the spot, but it is a question to make you think. Job chapter 25 and verse 4. And here's what the question says. How then can man... How can mankind, how can a person be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? The background of this question, if you were to read the book of Job, we start off in Job chapter 1, 2, and 3, there's some things that happened to Job, totally out of character with who Job was. Job was a righteous man. God actually said that. But circumstances beyond Job's control, and Job found himself with his family gone, his farm gone, everything was gone, his health. And he didn't understand it. And his friends heard about his plight, and they came and they sat down with him, and Job was in such distress and such despair for a week. They sat and said nothing. Now, I wouldn't be able to sit for a week and say nothing, but they did. They sat for a week, and Job mourned, and finally Job opened his mouth and he said, I wish I'd never been born, and it starts a conversation. And now we're 25 chapters into the conversation. And his friends are trying to analyze everything. And they're saying to Job, you must have done something wrong. And Job said, I haven't. And this is where the conversation is going. And they are laying out that not everything they said was wrong. What they were accusing Job, what they said about Job was wrong. But this man, he says, in light of who God is, we've been discussing here, God is a holy God. We are just sinners. We're going to read that in a few minutes somewhere else. But this is their discussion. Job says, if only God would come down and if I could just talk with him, we'd have all this settled out. And this man says, you want to talk with God? How can we even be justified? How can a person be made right with God? That was the question in modern English. And so that's what I want you to think about. Ask yourself, how can I be right with God? Or can you? And that's what Bildad is saying. If we knew there was a way to be right with God, how could we ever be right with God? Now I was trying to think, the last couple days, how can I illustrate this? And I didn't know who I was going to pick on, but I'm going to pick on my son-in-law. Suppose Ian pulls into our yard, he knows where the keys are, and he grabs one of our vehicles. I know which one he'd go for. But suppose he jumps in it without permission, and in his tearing around, he destroys the car. The authorities are involved, and Ian lands before the judge. Here I am, I've got no car. Well, that car is gone. Ian, he doesn't have one to replace it. He's standing before the judge, and the judge says, well, Ian, you've done wrong, but you know what? We're just going to say, just never mind. You've been a pretty good guy. And it's all good. You are just, and you would say, no, there's no justice in that. And even he might be relieved. I don't think he's scared of his father-in-law. He would be if that happened, but... But suppose that happened, and you'd say, well, that is not right. That is not justice. And I suppose the judge could say, no, you're forgiven. I might say, well, what about me? I've lost my car. Ian's got off scot-free. How is that right? That is sort of what is going on here. This man, he is saying, we are dealing with God. It's not Ian dealing with me. It's not Ian having to deal with my daughter because destroying my car. What we are talking about tonight is not just things on earth. We look at a justice system and you talk it to a police officer and they say it's so frustrating because there is no justice. There is no... Things are not done and justice carried out. Things are not done right. And we see it all around. Yet you know what happens? When it comes to you and I and our relationship with God, we see things happen here. And if you saw Ian take my car and you say, there needs to be consequences. Men like him need to be punished. And I suppose that's right. But when it comes to God and our sin, you know what we think? Well, it doesn't matter anyway. But these men, they're discussing, and he says, how can a man be right with God? This is... You know what I would love tonight? If someone would realize, you know what? I have to deal with God. You don't have to deal with me. But what about God? If Ian took my car, I suppose he would have to deal with me because I would expect to be paid back. But when it comes to our sin, the Bible tells us, we can read in Isaiah chapter 59, we can read in other places, that our sin is a barrier. It has caused, I don't want to say a rift, but it has caused a separation. I know I've used the illustration before, but suppose Wendy and I had a fight. Wendy is not the one that Donald was talking about a few minutes ago. We're still together. But suppose something happened and I insulted Wendy. And anybody that is married or in a relationship, if you're being honest, there have been times when you've made a slip and you think, I have got to make things right. Well, when it comes to you and I and God, our sins have caused a tremendous problem. And I might hear this from Ian yet, but suppose Ian took my car, there would be some tension. And I might say, hey, well, come on, Ian, what? You took my car. Well, I can't. Just let it go. Well, no, I can't. When it comes to sin, when it comes to, when it comes to things that we have done wrong, if we are going to be honest, can I say that I have never done anything wrong? If I told you tonight that I've never done anything wrong, you'd say, yeah, right. And you don't only have to talk to Wendy, and she's not perfect. You talk to my children. No, Dad has not always been right. And even Ian had to say, yeah, my father-in-law hasn't always been right. When it comes to our relationship with a holy God, there is a problem. There is a separation because of sin. And so if Wendy and I are having a dispute, we need to be reconciled. We need to be brought together. How is that going to happen? Well, some women like flowers, and sometimes that'll work. Sometimes it needs to be an apology. Maybe it's, what would work for me is, okay, take me out for an ice cream. I'm pretty easy to please. But when it comes to me and God, here's the question. How can I be made right with God? Is there even a way? And that is the question. How can I be right with God if I wanted to make amends, if I wanted to put the situation right? How am I going to do it? That was the question that this man asked. Have you ever thought about it? Now, hopefully it never comes to this between Ian and I. If it ever did, hopefully I have enough grace to say, okay, whatever, it was only a road off car anyway, it doesn't matter. But when it comes to my sin and God, it can never just be pushed under the carpet. Yesterday I was eating lunch and Wendy wasn't home, and a couple pieces of rice fell on the floor, and I don't normally do it, but normally I'd reach down and pick it up, but I just saw it there and I just give it a kick. And I said, And you know what? That is what we try to do with our sin. Instead of making sure it's looked after, we push it aside. Tonight, when it comes to your sin and a holy God, we can't just kick it aside. And this man, he is asking a question. How can I be made right with God? How can this sin be looked after? How can I be justified? How can I be made righteous? How can my sin be taken away? These are all different ways of asking this question. And so tonight, I want you to, not out loud, but in your head, ask yourself, yeah, I never thought of it that way. What about my sin? What about my wrongdoing? What about me meeting God? How can that be made right? And that is, here's the question. I'm going to read it again. I'll let it go here in a minute. But I want you to think about this question. How can a man be right with God? How can a person be right? How can I be justified? How can my sins be taken away? We're going to read in Romans chapter 3. Now think of that. Just leave that question in your head. How can I be made right with God? How can my sins be righteously? How can my sin in a right way be dealt with so that God is happy and I can be happy? If Ian destroyed my car, again, we're going to go back to that because sometimes we identify with things like that. If there was going to be a resolution, you would say, well, okay, well, Ian's going to have to pay for his misdeeds, and Daryl's car is going to have to be replaced. That is the only way. Okay, so now we're getting somewhere. Something is going to have to happen. Something has to happen if that problem is going to be resolved. Now, Romans chapter 3, verse 23. So, it's an Old Testament question, but now it's getting closer. It's 2,000 years closer now. So, this would be around 50 or 60 AD, so the other story took BC, so now it's coming up. It's the same question. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So now we have the problem is, it's a question, now it's a statement. How can a man be made right with God? We have all come short. When it comes to God's perfection and God's holiness, every one of us, I'm going to pick an Ian again for a minute. When he first started coming around, he Ian makes some beautiful knives. And I don't know if this was to impress us or maybe it was a threat, I don't know. But he gave us a knife. And I'm looking over this knife, and I have dealt with metal a lot all my life, and I'm looking it over, and Ian is starting to squirm. I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "You're making me nervous." I said, "Why?" Because he said, "You're looking at all my knife and all the imperfections." I said, "No, it's good." But you know what? Here we're looking, and when God looks at us, I looked at that knife, and I still don't see any imperfections in it. But when God looks at us, we might have our hair groomed nice and a nice clothing. But when God looks at you and I, our sin, our wrongdoings, our coming short of His standard of perfection is so glaring. I happened to notice something, I think it was on Facebook, and I just happened to see it. It says, "Why God hates us." That's not right, number one. But you know what we have an impression of, what the world thinks? God is looking down and He is judging, and God does not look. We have already had the verse read tonight. I was thinking of that. So that is absolutely wrong. The Bible says God loves. God does not hate you or I. God loves you and I, but God cannot look at our sin. God cannot overlook our sin. That little piece of rice that I kicked under the counter, Wendy never even noticed it. And actual fact, we had some people over last night, and I vacuumed it. I forgot all about it. I didn't see it either. There's some other stuff on the floor, and it got overlooked, and it got taken care of. Our sin will not get overlooked. It cannot get overlooked. And so the question in the Old Testament, how can my sin be dealt with? How can I be made right with God? And here it is again. For all have sinned, all have done wrong, and come short of God's standard. So the problem is still there. And it's the same problem today. My sin and a holy, righteous God. How can that ever be dealt with? Can it ever be dealt with? Well, you know what? It can, and it has. And so, I want to just jump back a couple of verses. I ended up switching what I was going to read from. I switched to Romans. Verse 21, "But now the righteousness of God," so God's character, He is holy, He is right, God's righteousness without the law is manifest, or outside of the law, so it's not by works, it's been witness of the law and prophets, "even the righteousness of God, which is in faith," which is by faith of Jesus Christ, "unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now listen to this. Being justified, being made right freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What is being said here? That God has, I was going to use the word found, but that's not a good word. God has made a way where sin can be dealt with, where His holy character is upheld, and yet sin is being answered for righteously. So how does that happen? We can get sort of all tangled up. I don't want to get tangled up. I want you to understand what is coming across. It's the answer. How can I be made right with God? And Paul writes, he says, that can happen through God's act of righteousness where He is satisfied and the sinner can go free. How does that happen? Verse 25, "whom," that's speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, "whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. Now, that's not a word that we use. The only time I've ever used that word is speaking in the gospel, and I've always defined it. What does it mean? God has set forth His Son, Jesus Christ, as the means of His being appeased. We'll come back to that. Through faith in His blood, through Jesus' blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So what is being written here? What the preacher is saying, what the Apostle Paul is saying, in answer to the question, now Paul may not have been thinking of that exact question in Job chapter 25, but he's dealing with the problem when it comes to our sin. How is our sin going to be dealt with? Tonight, can I ask you, how is your sin going to be dealt with? It can only be dealt with righteously one way. And that was God giving the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what God was doing when He sent His Son? God sent His Son into the world, John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And what God actually did, when there was a distance between you and I, He said, I am going to give my Son. He is perfect. He is without sin. And He is going to take the place of the sinner. He is going to give His life instead of the sinner. And on the basis of what He does, God is saying, I am satisfied. I can take the payment that He is making, and I am going to say, I am perfectly satisfied. And then God says, I'm satisfied on the basis of this sacrifice, on the basis of my Son, your sins can be taken away. Now, let's go back to the story. Ian, I think, was getting nervous. He walked out. Let's go back to the story about Ian. He takes my car. Suppose he destroys the car. Suppose David jumps in. And David says, I have the exact same car. Daryl, you take the car. Would you be happy? I'd say, well, yeah, I don't care. Just that was my car. Well, on the action of David, I would be satisfied. And if Ian said, no, I don't think that's right. Well, you see, there's a problem, right? But suppose David says, okay, Daryl, here's my car. Would you be satisfied? I say, yeah, I'd be happy. And Ian says, well, yes, I'd be happy because I've got nothing to pay with. You know what? The problem is gone. And there has been, Ian is justified, and I have been appeased. Now that is just a simple, ridiculous, well hopefully it's ridiculous, story to try and illustrate the problem of our sin and God. Tonight, if you're in your sins, if your sins have never been forgiven, there is a separation between you and God. And that is the question, how can I be made right? How can my sins, how can they be taken away? How can they disappear? Sometimes we wish things would just disappear. Things just don't disappear. But tonight, your sins could be taken away. How? Through the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done. And here God is declaring through Paul that the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the propitiation. He is the payment that primarily satisfies God. But He's also the one that we can say, yes, Christ died for me. You know what I am so happy to tell you tonight? 37 years ago almost, I understood that I was not ready to meet God. And I wasn't really thinking of it in my sins, but I knew that I was not saved. I needed to be saved. And in my parents' house, about 10:30 at night, I remember thinking, how can I be saved? I wasn't thinking of the verse in Job, but that's really what I was crying out. How can I be justified? How can this problem of sin be taken away? How can I be saved? I thought of the words in Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. That is the message of the gospel. The person who simply puts their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? Let's just back up for a step. You know that the work to take you to heaven, to remove your sins, has already been done. That has happened 2,000 years ago. There has been a payment already made for your sin. God is just waiting for you to accept it. I understood that night, how can I be saved? The Lord Jesus Christ, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Eventually ended up in Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 5. He was wounded. The way I looked at it that night was, he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. It says our, but I was looking at it as my. I thought, is that all there is? And I looked at the verse, with his stripes, we are healed. Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this earth? He came to deal with your sin. He came to make payment, to appease God, if I can put it that way. He came to make the payment for sin. And what he has done, God looks back to the cross. He says, there the Lord Jesus Christ died for Daryl Rayner's sins. And that's enough. You know what happened 37 years ago? I just reached out and accepted what the Bible said. That the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sin. How can a man be made right with God? How can a person's sin be taken away? One answer, it is through the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done on the cross. When he took the sinner's place. That is the message of the gospel. We're going to go right back to where we started here this evening. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that any person that believes in him will not perish, will not suffer for their sin, but instead have everlasting life. Tonight, how can a person be justified? It is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that provision has been made, and God is holding it out for you tonight, waiting for you to accept it. Shall we pray? Our Father, we give thanks tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are so thankful for his death on the cross. And without him, without what he has done, there would be no hope for mankind. Our sin was so serious that really it does deserve eternal punishment. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ, sent by the Father, would come into this world and lay down his life. What a tremendous debt was paid that day when the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins. So we pray that there be those here tonight would ask the question within their hearts and would look to the Word of God and the answer that is found there through the Lord Jesus Christ. Take us home safely, I would ask, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.